counselor. Katzenberg had to give notice to preserve his option to leave, so on August 31, Katzenberg's lawyer, Arthur Emel, responded to Joe Santaniello's request for Katzenberg's intentions by writing a formal letter to Eisner announcing Katzenberg's intention to exercise his option to leave the next year. Eisner later said the letter took me by surprise. The next time Eisner saw Katzenberg, he acknowledged getting the letter, but thought it was a negotiating ploy. He couldn't believe Katzenberg would actually quit and give up his compensation for 1995 and 1996, the 2 years remaining on his contract. "You really want to give that up?" Eisner asked incredulously, noting that it would amount to $100 million. Where Eisner came up with such a round number isn't clear. It doesn't correspond to anything in the Project Snowball calculations, which projected Katzenberg's total compensation in 1995 and 1996 would be approximately $44 million. The bonus due him was far more than $100 million. According to Eisner, Katzenberg didn't take issue with the amount, saying he could easily earn that amount somewhere else. In any event, he said, it didn't matter because I have no intention of leaving. I'm just protecting myself legally, in case you don't come up with new mountains for me to climb. Eisner told Wells that there is no chance he will do this. Still, Eisner must have thought there was at least a slight chance Katzenberg would leave, because he later approached Joe Roth about taking his place as head of the studio. As Eisner described it in a memo to Irwin Russell, I had had a conversation with Joe Roth, asking him if Jeffrey left, which I thought was very, very unlikely, would he take over? He said yes, but I told him Jeffrey was under contract, did not look like he would ever leave, but you never know. And of course, there is always the truck that could hit him. When Disney executives gathered in Aspen the first week in October, Eisner seemed to have determined to use the occasion to get Katzenberg to stay through the end of his contract in 1996, and even to enter into a new, longer-term agreement. Katzenberg and his wife Marilyn arrived at the Eisner home on Friday evening, their first visit to the Eisner's lavish, Robert Stern-designed cabin. They admired the view, then settled into comfortable chairs in the living room. According to Katzenberg's later testimony, they had a pleasant conversation, and then Eisner raised the subject of Katzenberg's contract. I want to make a new deal, Eisner said. It's time. He added that he realized Katzenberg wanted some new challenges, and he wanted to expand his responsibilities. In a letter to Irwin Russell describing this encounter, which appears to be the closest thing to a contemporaneous record, Eisner wrote, Jeff was in Aspen with me, and we discussed his future. He asked for Frank's job the first night. Of course, I flatly denied this request. Katzenberg later said he had no recollection of any such conversation the first night. The subject of Katzenberg's contract arose the next day as Eisner and Katzenberg waited on the sidewalk outside a bar and grill called Boogies, and their wives shopped for sweaters. In Katzenberg's account, Eisner volunteered that he was negotiating a new deal with Frank Wells, but he didn't think Wells would serve out his full term. I think Frank will do this a year or two, then leave to run for governor or climb mountains. If that happens, I'd expect you to assume the number two job. In the meantime, I'm prepared to make clear that you are number three. I'm prepared to make you vice chairman and